Good morning, family. It's so good to be here, and I'm so thankful for each one of you and for everyone who's online joining us this morning. I would like to send a special greeting out to those that are online, and I would like us to do that together. David Aguilera is in the hospital in Lubbock with COVID, and there's others that are dearly close to many of us that are suffering right now or are home because of sickness or travel that would love to be here in person, but their circumstances prevent them. So if we could all stand up, please, and let's all look at this camera to your left, and let's collectively say that we love you to the camera. So together, we love you. So thank you for doing that. Yeah, give a good wave. Wonderful. We're going to be continuing our series this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the fundamental teachings that Jesus brings us. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24, as Chafin just read for us. And this passage is all about laying up our treasures in heaven and how to do that and what does that look like. So let's dive right into it. Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So Jesus starts off by telling us what not to do, to not accumulate things here on earth. He's reminding us that this world is not going to last. And with that in mind, we are going to last. We go on forever. These things of this earth do not. As someone once put it to me, you never see a hearse pulling a trailer. This life has an end to it. We go on, but our possessions and the physical things around us do not. He then tells us what we're supposed to do. He says we're to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Have you ever had something stolen before? Ever been robbed? I know many of us have in different ways. I have. It's not a very fun experience. But what's really interesting is decay and moths, thieves, they cannot touch spiritual things. We have a faith that overcomes the world, that this earth, Satan, they cannot plunder heaven. But in fact, the reverse is true, where heaven, the kingdom of heaven, can plunder hell. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the kingdom of God. And so, earth, hell, they can't reach up, but heaven can reach down. And we can plunder this earth in the sense that we can connect to souls and we can help, through God's grace and through his will, save souls. So how do we lay up treasures in heaven? How do we do that? How do we reach out and treasure things and lay things up in heaven? Let's look at some passages on how we can actually do this. Because we all want to lay up treasures in heaven, but we're going to look at how do we actually do that. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 3 to begin observing that process. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So to begin to lay up treasures in heaven, we have to think, okay, what's going on in heaven? What's happening up there that we can seek and we can set our minds up there? What is the dynamic in heaven? We have to know about heaven to be able to seek things that are up there. And when we look at heaven in Scripture, we see several things that are consistently present. And that first one is worship, that there is a constant environment of worship of God in heaven, where angels are saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so we want to have, like we talked about a few weeks ago in our prayers, asking that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's going on in heaven? One big thing is worship. And so we're setting our minds on a consistent worship. We see that God has a will that he is carrying out at all times, where he seeks that people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And like Ephesians 5:1 says, we're supposed to imitate him as beloved children. So in heaven, God has a will, and we are to be able to see that will, seek that will, set our minds on that will, because that's what's happening in heaven. That's what we want to be focusing on ourselves. Also, these things above is in heaven a holiness, where he dwells in unapproachable light, where there is nothing evil, there's no shadow, there's no sin tolerated in his presence. So we seek to be holy as he is holy. We have set our minds on these types of pure thoughts. So putting our thoughts on heaven really changes the way we live right now. There's this Eastern proverb that goes something like this, that your thoughts lead to actions, your actions lead to habits, your habits lead to character, and your character leads to destiny. So starting with our thoughts really changes the rest of the course of our lives. And that's what we're seeing here in Colossians. When we set our minds on things that are above, it then flows from that into the rest of our lives. There's other passages that reinforce this, like Philippians 4:8, where we're told, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's how we set our mind on things that are above, is by recognizing these things and then setting our minds, choosing our thoughts to remain focused on these things that were just listed here. Have you ever met somebody, or perhaps yourself, struggling with having a filter, in that they things that they say, they just seem to not have a filter? There's things that come out, and you're like, wow, that was inappropriate. Or they say something, or you say something, and you're like, wow, I put my foot directly into my mouth. And you know, I sometimes have a shoe-shaped mouth, I like to say, where I sometimes say something like, ugh, I should not have said that. We talk about not having a filter, and while it's super important for us to recognize what's coming out of our mouths, Jesus talks about that, and that's a lesson for another time. Not only are we to be filtering what comes out of our mouths, we need to be filtering what remains in our minds. And the way we filter what remains up here is this list. Think of this list as like a net or like a strainer, in which you comb through your thoughts with testing your thoughts. Are these thoughts true? Are they honorable? Are they just? Are they pure? Are they lovely? You go through this list and you strain your thoughts, and anything that doesn't line up with this list, you set those things aside. You don't think about those things, and you remain thinking about the list here that we see, and that's how you begin to treasure things that are in heaven, treasuring these things that last much long or last forever and not these temporary things. Who here likes lists? Who's like really organized and likes lists? Think of this as like a shopping list of treasures, things to seek and to acquire, where these are things we want to be accumulating, things that are true and honorable and excellent, commendable, lovely. And let God define what these things are. Because it's really easy to fall into a trap of like, I think this is commendable. Okay, but does God think it's commendable? So making sure that we let God define each one of these things. What is pure? What is lovely? What is commendable? What's excellent? And making sure that God sets the standard for those things instead of letting ourselves or other people define what each one of these are. So let this be a filter in which we test our own thoughts. And with that in mind, let me ask you a question. How's your mind? How are your thoughts? Are you and I thinking about these things, or are our minds thinking about things that don't match up with this list? Having true thoughts is a big part of our treasure. I want to share a passage with you that's becoming one of my favorite passages, and I came across this while studying, preparing for this lesson. It comes from Isaiah 33:5-6. It says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. He will be the stability of your times. Oh, let me go back. Could we use some more stability in our lives? How unstable is life around us? How far do you have to look to recognize instability? You could look to Afghanistan. You could look to the news. You could look to COVID. You could look at our own health. We could look at our environment. We could look at everywhere around us. Things are pretty shaky at best. And just like we had, no pun intended, the earthquake a few years ago, you know, that was showing how shaky things are. How everything seems really stable, actually, at the drop of a hat, everything can get turned upside down. There's only one source of stability, and that's God. Amen. He's given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our prized possession as God's people is the fear of the Lord. It is in Christ and recognizing who Christ is, that is a treasure. If I was to show you what my prized possession is as an individual, if I could take one thing with me somewhere, I would want to say it would be my old Bible. It would be this really special scrapbook that my teammates in South Africa made for me from the mission work there. This verse here is really challenging me in great ways of my treasure. There's one thing I could have. It's the fear of the Lord. That's a precious thing. That's a treasure of mine. And having the dynamic we have with God as his people, that's something that's treasurable. That is something precious. It's a faith that's more precious than gold. It is something to treasure, a prized possession, a peace that surpasses understanding. So the stability we have in Christ is something of incalculable value. Now, this laying up of treasure is more than just increasing thankfulness and gratitude of who God is. There's also a relational and a connecting to other people aspect to it. I want us to look at this together. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. About this idea. He says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So what we see here is that what you do with your life matters. That our actions, our work that we do as Christians has different levels of fruitfulness or different levels of value. All these things are real. Hay and straw is real, but gold, and so is gold and silver and precious stone. But some of these are going to go on forever, when some of them are going to be temporary. And it's important for us to evaluate, what am I doing with my life? Am I doing things that are going to affect forever, or am I doing things that are going to affect the temporary? And what I want us to focus in on here is this idea of reward. What is this reward that Paul's talking about in verse 14? He will receive a reward for when things survive the test. And we're going to see that the reward is helping people grow closer to God. That helping others, whether it's planting or watering, that God growing people through our faithfulness and us being open to him and him using us to be a blessing to other people, there's a reward, and that reward, that treasure, is other people entering into the kingdom and us going on together with these people. And we're going to look at some verses where Paul himself explains this. So we're going to look at some heavenly treasure and value and see that it is being connected to more of God's people and being a part of people getting connected to God. So 2 Corinthians 1:14 is the first verse I want us to look at that showcases this. It says, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us and we will boast of you. I love this idea of, you know, the day of judgment, we're going to be judged individually, but we're going to go on together collectively as his people. And there's going to be a lot of people there, you know, on that day. But if I see you across the way, I'm definitely going to be waving at you. And I'm going to be like, I know that guy. I know her. We go way back. I was a big part of their lives. They were a big part of my lives. And that this connection together goes on forever. And that's something to be thankful for and mindful of. Similarly, in Philippians 2:16, Paul's talking to the Christians there, telling them that with them holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And that other people's faithfulness, other people that he was ministering to, when they continue in faith, that means his work was not in vain. Going back to that Corinthians passage where their faithfulness, them continuing on, means that he was not working with wood, hay, and straw, but he was working with gold, silver, and precious stones. And so this ministry to each other, when it goes on into eternity, is a reward. But when it is something that is temporary, it can still be good work, but it's not of eternal value. And then last on this subject, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, Paul says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? So to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live for Christ today is to be in obedience to him, a blessing to other people, and helping other people get closer to God. And from that, there's this reward of entering into eternity with God with more people. There's no VIP status as a Christian. There's no like retirement tier packages of eternity and living with God forever. But we can increase an already infinite amount of thankfulness by accumulating more relationships for forever together. And that's an exciting thought, that there is a reward in our work, and that is more people to love and be together forever. So Jesus, back in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, he then talks about, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where we stockpile our treasures is of such importance, because it's going to show us and it's going to actually decide where our hearts go. And our hearts are very, very tricky things, very complicated, and independently, they're uncontrollable. You cannot just grab your heart and force it to go where you want it to. It's going to drag you off somewhere else. It's not something you can just force into a direction. But you can do is choose what you treasure. And in choosing your treasure, that treasure is going to have gravity to it, and that's going to pull your heart to whatever you treasure. So your heart is this wild animal that you cannot tame in itself, but you can guide it by choosing what you treasure. Jeremiah 17:9 says that your heart is deceitful above all else. We see in Proverbs 4:23, though, you're supposed to guard your heart. And then in Matthew 22:37, we're supposed to love God with all your heart. So you have this super deceitful heart that you're supposed to guard all the time, but you're also supposed to love God with it. So it's like, this is a very complicated thing. What you can't, and the way that we can live faithfully with and trying to handle this very complicated thing that is our hearts, and something that God is seeking for so much, our hearts, is by choosing what to treasure. So in choosing what we treasure puts all these things in the right direction. If when we choose to treasure things that are above. So treasure has a lot of gravity to your heart. And now we're going to talk about how do you figure out what your treasure is? How do you discern your current treasure? And Jesus tells us here in verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And there's this ancient idea at the time that how the eye worked. And a few thousand years ago, the common understanding was that your eye kind of projected a special kind of light, and that's how you were able to see things around you. And it's this little thing that's a part of your body that guides the rest of you, just like a little lamp you could hold, and now your whole body is going where this lamp is, that this part of you is going to guide you, and you're going to be able to navigate based off of what's going on here. And your eye is going to guide your body. I think of Jeff Porter. Where's Jeff? Jeff, where are you at? Are you in here? You're not in here right now. I think of Jeff talking about posture a few months ago, and every time I think about it, I always want to stand up straighter, because he talked about how what you look at, it pulls your head towards. If you're looking at your phone, you kind of like hunch forward towards it. If you're reading a book or something, that basically your eyes kind of pull your body, what you're looking at. And so that's true on a physical level. That's also very true on a spiritual level, that what you look at pulls you into. And so Jesus is now giving a very challenging thought that you can see what you treasure by what you look at. So if you were to calculate and map out the amount of minutes and hours of time of your day, and you were to see how much time and energy and attention you give to something, that then shows you your treasure. And so he's going to go on to say this. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? God wants our hearts. He wants our eyes to be focused on him. And what we look at and dwell on determines what we treasure. In our life, your life, and mine as well, physically and eternally, is guided by what we are focusing on. So we see two things here, that we can be full of light, or we can have this full of darkness that's great, this great darkness. I'm going to show you a picture that's pretty visual that is going to, I think, kind of display some of this. And we're going to look at James as well. So our hearts, we can tell what's going on in our hearts by what we look at. And when we sometimes read things and we don't really imagine them properly. You're talking about how great is that darkness. And then also being this idea of being full of light. And those things are determined by what we are looking at, what our focus is on. What we focus on reveals what's actually going on inside of us. And the same idea, but talked about from a different direction, is in James 4, 13 through 17. It says, Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So are our lives about things from above or things from below? Jesus talks about that if your eye is focused on things that are good, then you're going to have this light that fills your whole body. But if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And here in James, we see that this wisdom, if it's selfish ambition and bitter jealousy, says there's going to be every vile practice. Like everything gross comes from selfishness and bitter jealousy. And it doesn't just say it's just animalistic. It doesn't say it's just earthly. It says it's demonic. And so if our focus is not on heavenly things, it's on evil things. And it's one or the other. And that is an important contrast to understand, that we either have a wisdom from above that's from God, or we're following some lie, and there's only one father of lies, and it's going to lead to only evil. And there's only two forks in the road. There's one fork in the road. There's two paths that we can choose what to treasure on either path. So there's great darkness, and there's every vile practice. It is demonic, and that is not just it's not just a bad idea to treasure things on earth, is what I want to emphasize, and what Scripture here is highlighting, that not having wisdom from above, by not treasuring things that are in heaven, is not just inconvenient, suboptimal, not the smartest thing to do, but it is a great darkness, that it leads to every vile practice. Could you make a list of just every vile practice? I mean, that's a horrifying list of what could all be written on there. And if there's bitter jealousy or selfish ambition, if there is a worldly focus, that's what's going to come out of our lives. But if we have a focus on heaven and we're laying up treasures there, then that's going to be this wisdom from above, this thing that is full of mercy, wisdom, and is open to reason. So our last passage, or our last verse back on the Sermon on the Mount for today's lesson, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Someone once told me you can't sit on the fence because Satan owns the fence. You cannot be serving two masters. We either are going to treasure things that are in heaven, or we're going to treasure things on earth. We're either going to have wisdom from above, or we're going to lean on our own understanding and have a self-focus. We cannot serve two masters. But you get to choose the master you serve. You can choose what to treasure. And that's what we're going to conclude with. You can't sit on the fence, but you need to choose your treasure. And you have the time and grace today to evaluate what is your treasure. What are you looking at? There's an app on your phone that's part of the settings where you can show how much screen time you have that day and how many apps have been open for how long. It's almost in every phone. And I think it's a great feature. And I like to have contests to see who has like the least amount. I think that's an exciting thing to do. But then we should do that with just life. And not just to compare and like compete against each other, that's not what I'm saying. But for us to take inventory of, what am I spending my time on? Where is my time and energy and emotion? Where am I investing them? And this, the entire idea of laying up something, is not really a phrase we use for lots of other stuff. Like if you get a lot of food in your pantry, like, I've laid up a lot of food this weekend. Like, we just don't really talk like that. But the idea of laying something up is you have such a pile, and instead of laying something down, it's such a pile, you're laying something up because there's such a big pile of it. And so heavenly things in your life, is there enough that you could, there's a pile that you can lay things up on the top? Or is it, if we were to look at the amount of time and energy we have going on in our lives, what pile of things is behind us? Is it earthly things or is it heavenly things? And if we are alive today, we have the grace to take inventory and to evaluate, am I treasuring things of earth that are temporary, whether it's a career, whether it is our physical bodies, whether it is this world, or are we taking time to invest in things that are going to go on forever? Are the works we're doing, are the lives we're living things that are going to go on forever, or are they only going to last less than a century? So this is a time for us to evaluate, to ask ourselves, what do we treasure, to test our thinking? Are we thinking about things that are above, or are we focused on things that are below? Are we finding stability in our environment, or are we finding stability in the fear of the Lord? And so don't sit on the fence. We can't afford to sit on the fence. You have the opportunity to choose what you treasure. Many of you treasure the right thing. Many of you are treasuring things that are in heaven. But I don't get to choose what you treasure. You don't get to choose what I treasure. That's a decision you get to make. I get to make independently. You have been exposed to treasure. You have God's word in front of you. You've had Christ preach to you. Now you get to choose, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? How are you going to build? Are you going to build with things that are going to go on forever? Or are we going to be building with things that are going to be temporary? Or are we going to be building with things that are evil? Because we're capable of doing all three, or any one of those three things. So let's make sure that we treasure things that are in heaven. Let's make sure that we have an attitude of making sure our lives are focused on things that are going to go on forever, to live for Christ. If there's any needs here this morning that we can minister to you, that we can help do work with you that's going to go on forever, please let us know, whatever that is, this morning as we sing this next song. Let's stand and sing.